Blog Talk Radio.
Thinking, I'm here at Ronnie Brook Farms eating delicious grass, not being injected with some synthetic hormones. I just gave birth to another cutie calf and don't even have to deal with any bull. I hear you, Mar. You know what they call cows that can't give milk? No, what, Sal? Utter failure. So, where is our big daddy Ronnie? Probably somewhere exercising, doing yogurt. At Ronniebrook Farms, you'll find the best of dairy products. Our milks vary in butterfat from non-fat to heavy cream. Enjoy the creamy yogurts from the cup or one that you can simply drink with the best of culture without artificial thickeners or additives. We don't have sour cream. We do have creme fraiche. Butter is better when you can choose cinnamon toast to spread on bread or pancakes. And since we scream for ice cream any time of year, you'll love our 16% butterfat. Do you remember getting bottled milk delivered, opening it to find the cream on the top? That is how you'll find our sweet-tasting cream-lined milk. I'll hand it to you, Sal, or milk may get past your eyes, but certainly not homogenized. Ronniebrook Farms, where cows always seem to be in a good mood. Check us out at www.ronniebrook.com.
Oh, yes. Hi, Steve. How are you?
Good, Mo. How are you?
Okay. Did that make you thirsty for milk?
Yeah, a little bit. Milk is always good.
Well, actually, where I'm finding it actually is over in Forest Hills, where they have a green market. In case you ever want to check green markets. Okay, but anyway, so let's get to you. Steve, introduce yourself to my audience.
Well, my name is Steve Kutzenbarris. I am the chef and executive chef and corporate chef of Alora Restaurant in Bayside. I mean, there's a lot to talk about me, but let's get to
it. Okay, where we want to start, first of all, you're not new to Queens, then, are you? I understand you said something about, did you grow up in Astoria? Is that what I got?
Actually, I was born in Astoria, and at around fourth grade, I moved out to Flushing. So I'm a Flushing Bayside native, if you want to call it. I lived there for most of my life. I'm living in Long Island right now, but I grew up in my childhood years and in Flushing and Bayside area.
Oh, okay. Because now the restaurant is in Bayside. Is that the?
Yes, it is. It is. Ironically, you know, I remember that area with like a movie theater and four stores, and now it's a huge shopping mall. So. You know, we could go back a long way, but yes, it was hardly anything there, and now it's a beautiful big area, and you know, there's a lot to offer in that whole area there, and hopefully, you know, our restaurant is part of that.
Yeah, he. By the way, Steve is talking about the Bay. It's called the Bay Terrace Shopping Center that he's referring to.
Yes, I am.
For you non-locals, or just. Anyway, what I want to get to, how did you even start in with being a chef in the first place?
Well,
how old
I mean,
were you when you started
up,
to cook?
Growing up as a child, I always had a passion for food. Coming from a Greek family and being in the kitchen a lot and watching my grandmother cook and my mother cook, and to me, they were the most influential cooks in my life. As a child, so yeah, I love good food, and you know, growing up in that environment, you know, just makes you a little bit more aware of what could be created and what's out there. So as a child, I was like their little butcher and their little sous chef, if you want to call it, and I was always helping them with dinner every day after school, and you know, being involved in the kitchen all the time. And, you know, that really stuck to me. I always had a passion for it. You know, I always loved playing around with food even at a very young age, at, you know, 7, 8 years old. And, you know, I decided at some point to make a career out of it. I've been cooking, you know, for over 20 years now. I'm not going to say how old I am, but a really big passion for food. I was in, you know, many fine dining restaurants and through the years in Manhattan.
We'll get to that in a minute. I'm curious about something.
Yes.
Are you like what generation American are you? Like, are your parents from Greece?
My parents are Greek, yes. My parents were born in Greece.
No, from Greece?
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay.
My parents
so
are
you're
from,
first generation.
My parents, yes, I'm first generation, yes.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't like it was passed down in terms of the food. You got it because it was your parents, and that was the food they ate in Greece. Oh, okay.
Yes, yes.
What typical food would you be eating, like that you learned to make at the time when you were a kid?
As a child, I mean, there was a lot of, you know, obviously some Greek food. You know, there was a lot of fresh ingredients and things because that's the way the Greeks used to cook back then. So, you know, we would do pasticcio and we would do moussaka and we would do the staples that you see in a lot of Greek, restaurants, but also, you know, there's other things because Greece is a very interesting area because there's so many islands and each island has its own little variation of what.
And where was your parents from? What part? Did I lose you? You're on your cell phone and I lost you?
I am on my cell phone. Hello?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'm back.
Now I hear you.
Sorry.
You're back.
I'm sorry. Yes, my mother's from Crete, the big island of Crete. And my mother is from a smaller island. It's 12 islands near, it's called Astepalea. It's one of the 12 islands near Rhodes and coasts and in that area in the Aegean. So, again, you know, different styles of cooking, different styles of you know, depending on what they were growing at the time or were able to grow on the island. So, you know, we did do traditional dishes, but also in the same token, you know, like I said, you know, different things happen from different areas of Crete and Astypalea, and all over Greece for that matter, because as you get north, you know, things get influenced by different areas of where you're born. So.
Okay. So what was your first restaurant you worked at? And how old were you?
I was about, at about 16, 17, I was doing, and then I'm not going to call it a restaurant. I was like a short order cook, if you want to call it, in a family deli-ish type of place. And that's where I just really, you know, started, you know, falling in love with being part of the food service industry part. And being around people and servicing people and, you know, creating, you know, different sandwiches and different burgers and things like that. And that was at a very young age. And then also, after that is when I went to culinary school and, my first restaurant, I went out of my extern, I did my externship at a place called March Restaurant, which is, it was a 3-star New York Times restaurant in Manhattan. I'm not sure if any of you are familiar with it. It's about 20 years ago. I was there for about 9 years. I was the I started out as the grand manger cook, like everyone else starts, and then moved on up to become chef de cuisine of that restaurant.
Oh, and it was called March, you said?
March, yes, with Wayne Nish. Okay. Wayne Nish was the executive chef and the owner, which was one of my mentors and one of my first chefs that I really worked under. And, you know, we got two, at the time that I was there, we got 2 3-star New York Times reviews while I was there.
And where'd you go on to, like, from there?
From there, I decided to change the pace a little bit, and I moved on to Agatha and Valentina, which was an Italian gourmet store, gourmet supermarket, if you want to call it. But it was a very that's where I got a lot of my Italian influence, in all honesty.
Ah.
And that's where everything ties in at this point. That was located on 79th Street and First Avenue. In Manhattan.
Okay, so
it was a big gourmet store, which we did a lot of prepared foods and a lot of Italian, and a lot of most of the product that was in the store was imported from Italy too. So that's where we got to really play around with mozzarella and ricotta and, you know, stuff that was coming straight from Italy, and Italian pastas and olive oils and things of that nature.
I see. Okay. So that's where that kind of came in. And then I understand that you were part of a restaurant that a certain person that I see on The View is is
well,
on. Not The View, The Chew, I mean.
Well, no, that's Michael Simon, but Michael Psellakis is another. We seem to have a bald head thing going on, but Mike has been on the Food Network, and he has been on the Food Channel, and he's I was his corporate chef for the past, you know, almost 12 years. Opened up multiple restaurants, which was mostly MP Taverna, which has like 4 locations. One in Roslyn is probably the closest one to in Queens at this point. There's one in Astoria. There's one in Brooklyn, but and also we have Keffi that was in Manhattan. So, yeah, that's where, you know, we really took Greek food to another level amongst ourselves. And it was part of Anthos, which we had gotten a Michelin star for in that restaurant. So that's where was before Aloha right now.
Oh, okay. So is that where, was that the last, is that where you worked for before you came to Allura then?
Yes, yes.
Okay. So, and how did they call you? Did you call them? What was the...
Where, Allura? It was
yeah.
a kind of mutual thing. We bumped into each other. We started talking, and, you know, I really got interested into the concept of what they were trying to do there. And then the same token, you know, gave me a platform to really showcase, you know, my style and my Italian side of cooking. So, you know, I mean, that's how we got together. I mean, it's Allura is an interesting restaurant, and it's different because, you know, nowadays, you know, we're doing fresh pasta, we're doing fresh sausage. Everything is pretty much, you know, 90% of the stuff in the restaurant are done on premise. So, you know, we're able to showcase that side of, you know, just doing really good, you know, food that has been taken away a little bit, you know, in the past years. So we're
yeah.
trying to bring back the authenticity, the authentic, by doing our own pasta and making all our pasta, like all the pastas that are on the menu, there must be at least pastas on the menu, them in on the premise. They get done fresh every day. So, you know, there's a lot of that happening in that restaurant right now.
And most places don't make their own ricotta cheese.
No, they don't. And again, it's, you know, these are things that, you know, we're really trying to, you know, go back to old school ways, if you want to call it. You know, the homeland way, or, you know, growing up, you know, like I said, my grandmother growing up, she used to make yogurt. You know what I'm saying? Which is very popular in Greek cuisine.
Right.
So, you know, and that's where, you know, I've interacting with, you know, I've been to Sicily. I spent some time in Sicily and Italy, and just gone around and seen different ways of doing things. You know, and, you know, to me, that's the beauty of it. You know, being able to create something like that and, you know, just raises an eyebrow when you eat it. You know, and you know, you could see the difference in quality and what the product is, on top of being fresh and, you know, more vibrant in flavors and flavor profiles, and people being able to taste the difference when you taste the, you know, a fresh pasta, and, you know, being done to order instead of, you know, out of a can or out of a jar or something like that.
Yeah. And I understand. What's the whole thing with all the pizzas?
Yes, I mean, the pizzas are a wonderful thing. You know, I started playing around with multiple different doughs, different flours, and, you know, just trying to create something special. You know, we do have a regular size pizza, you know, a 12-inch pizza that is, if you want to call your traditional style of pizza. We also are doing a style pizza, which is a somewhat of a pan pizza, but it's a lot airier and lighter. It's not a thick dough or dense dough, if you want to call it. So it's, you know, it's much more easier to eat and not get filled up with, because the dough is not heavy. It's not just like eating bread. It's a very light and airy type of dough. You know, again,
that's
two
a Detroit
styles
style,
of pizza.
Right?
Yeah, that's the Detroit square style pizza that we're doing. It's baked in a pan. It's like it looks like a deep dish, but, you know, again, the dough is a lot different. You need to really try it to understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'll agree.
Yes, you really need to try it to understand what I'm saying. And once you try, you'll be like, okay, now I understand exactly what he's talking about. But it's very interesting. Not too many places are doing it, and, you know, I think it's something that adds something to the neighborhood and something different when you come and dine there, so you can have a variety of different things.
And I understand. I just want to share that I've had the octopus, and was very, very surprised because I expected it to be chewy. And it was not. It was soft. And it was, what?
Yes.
I don't understand.
Yes.
This is softer than any calamari I ever had.
Yes, octopus is one of my favorite things that I do love to cook. Yes, there are different techniques and there are different ways of cooking octopus. Unfortunately, not everybody cooks it the same way, so you do get other rubbery textures. And, you know, it's funny because it turns people, you know, people that have tried it and it's rubbery and not and hard or chewy or whatever the case may be, are very hesitant to try my octopus. You know, and when they get to try it, and I'm like, and I tell them, listen, try this. And if when you try this and you try this octopus, then, you know, then we'll have another conversation. And 9 times out of 10, people are like, wow, this is really not what I expected. And I think I had that same conversation with you. You know, when you came in to eat. Because it's different. I cook it a different way. There's a different, you know, technique to it. And, you know, listen, you never know everything about cooking. There's a lot of different, you know, cultures out there, a lot of different ways of doing things. Some people like it one way, some people like it the other way. But, you know, I think that, you know, my way of cooking octopus is one of the better ways.
Sid, is this something that was passed down to you? I mean, I guess your mother was the cook, right? And your grandmother was the cook, right?
Yes, my mother and grandmother were the cooks, yes. You know, I kind of got this when I did go to, when growing up in Greece. You know, there's a couple of different ways that they do it there too. And you know, I caught on to what, you know, how I, and it's a little different, you know, the octopus there, they've been it right out of the water especially where my father's from. It's a small little island. So, you know, the fishermen are literally catching it, bringing it out, and you're getting it, you know, an hour after they caught it. So there's a little difference in the quality of the octopus there and stuff like that. So, you know, I've done a lot of research and, you know, trying multiple different ways of cooking octopus. And this is the way I pretty much figured out this is the best way to do it.
And I'm curious, like, how fresh can you get octopus? You know, being here
in the States?
And getting it based.
I mean, it's not. I can guarantee you, it's not two three days caught out. You know, there's different textures and different types of octopus out there that you could, you know, purchase. And you know, one thing about octopus that I could tell you, the cheapest one is not the best one. You know, there's certain things that, you know, in products that I've learned through the years of cooking, that, you know, there's always a price point to everything. But, you know, there's certain things that you really shouldn't, you know, jeopardize in getting a cheaper product, because it's not going to be the same. You know, I mean, and octopus is one of those things, in all honesty, because, you know, it's not like you eat octopus every day. So, you know, if you're going to enjoy it, you know, you might as well get the best that you could get. You know what I'm saying? And you know, have it once a year, let's say, instead of, you know, once a week, you know, and get the best that you could get out of it. Or just come to Alora and I'll take care of it.
But this is not something that you go to where everybody goes to the fish market to get, right?
No.
Yeah.
Again, you know, certain things are hard to find, and, you know, it comes down to, you know, basically knowing where to go and get it from. So, you know,
okay.
I tell everyone, you know, certain jobs are meant for certain people. So, you know, let the experts do what they do best in that category. So, you know, if you find a place that you like their octopus, then by all means go and enjoy that octopus, because it's not done like that everywhere. So.
Are you in charge of, like, buying the food as well? I mean, do you go to the markets or whatever to get him?
There are some markets that we go to. There are some purveyors and people that, you know, I've built relationships with through the years that, you know, and again, I've tried I literally have, you know, companies that are just starting out bringing, especially when it comes to octopus, I must have tried 40 different octopus and different ways of cooking it and different styles and different, you know, to get to where, what I want to do. So, you know, again, it's one of those products that, you know, is 9 times out of 10 or, you know, 8 times out of 10 is not done well, and it turns people off to it, you know. So, you know, unfortunately, you know, this is where you need to, we try to, you know, really showcase what we could do.
Yeah, well, I'm talking actually about, like, all your other products. Do you have to, is it basically purveyors and have it set up that they deliver, or are there anything that you go to specifically as a chef, executive chef?
Listen, you know, obviously when you're in Manhattan, there's the market, right? You know, you have
right,
the vegetable market that you go down to. You could go down to, you know, Fulton Fish Market, or, you know, it's in, so all of these things, yes, you know, you could go hand pick certain things, but, you know, some of them, you know, I have great relationships because it is hard to leave from Queens to go to these places, but, you know,
right,
little right, specialty stuff is where it's at. And, you know, those are the key places where I do deal with and know and have relationships with, that I do go pick up stuff and they keep stuff for me on the side and take care of me also. So,
okay, I was just curious, whether you do that or like you did, because I know you also have an executive chef, like you're the
yes,
corporate chef.
Yes.
What is the difference? What does the executive chef do?
Well, the corporate chef, you know, where. I'm the corporate chef because we're opening up multiple locations, so, you know, we have more restaurants to build out. The executive chef of the restaurant is also someone that handles the restaurant itself. But at this, you know, most of the recipes, and I would say, you know, 95% of it is all my recipes that, you know, this the build out of Alora is all, you know, pretty much, you know, but also Brian is a very good chef. And he brings a lot to the table, and he creates a lot of stuff too. So, you know, we collaborate, and we have a great relationship, and we, you know, and that's the fun part of creating together, to, you know, make a dish that everyone will appreciate and everyone will like. So, Brian is a great, great guy. I'm lucky to have him.
Now, also, in terms of desserts, are you dealing with the desserts, or
yeah,
you have a baker?
No, we don't have a baker. You know, we do all, I would say, you know, most all the desserts pretty much are done in-house. The only thing I'm not making is a lot of bread, like I told you. But, you know, most of them we're doing in-house, and you know, we do have chefs. You know, I'm not the most, you know, famous pastry chef out there. There's a lot of pastry chefs out there that are great. But, you know, I think our desserts do justice to what we're doing and are really, really, you know, tasty and straightforward and pretty good.
Okay. I've sampled some of them. I've sampled a lot of your food. It's so good.
Thank you.
So this is the and by the way, this is the first. Is this the first Queens restaurant that you've dealt with? Okay.
In the past, I've opened a couple of restaurants in Queens, so I have some experience. So, but this one in Bayside is you know. In Bayside area, yes, that's the first one.
Okay, so the ones, just because this is all for the article I'm writing. So if you've opened restaurants in what parts of Queens prior to this?
I've opened prior to this, where I've opened, I've been a chef at the one in Roslyn. I've been a chef in Astoria. Those are the two.
So the
main
one in Astoria, is that the one at MP Taverna?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. This way, you know. Times Legend wants everything Queens sits at.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Okay. So if I call them and said I'm coming over, can I use your name?
Sure. Why not?
Okay. No, actually, I would love to.
Or just have me call them.
Yes, I want to tell you about that because I want to do a sort of, like, not a comparison, a little bit of a comparison of what, you know, Italian and Greek and, you know, how certain things are the same or, you know, that kind of a thing.
Right, right. We are like
pasticcio is like lasagna.
Yes, it is, and it's funny you say that because, especially up north and like in the Corfu area of Greece, and actually my wife is from that area. It's very borders northern Italy, so a lot of even words that they used or her grandmother used were Italian words because they were so close. But they also use a lot more pasta in that area. You know, and they cook with a lot more pasta. And this is what I was trying to explain to you, especially Greece. It's so broad and different. Depending on what part of Greece you're from, the cuisine changes a little bit. So, you know, if you're closer to Italy, it's more pasta oriented. If you're down south and you're closer to, you know, it's more, you know, rice and things of that nature. So it's, you know, as a main, you know, starch I'm talking about now.
Right.
You know, all of them usually use lamb and, you know, there's not too many cows in Greece. So, you know,
is that why lamb is so prominent?
Yes. That's why there's lamb and sheep is the dominant meat of Greece because of that nature. There's not that much, there's not, you know, that many cows down there. So, you know, it's just the climate. They, you know, it was just of whatever it was that they couldn't really, lamb and sheep. To harvest and, you know, to grow, you know, and from the earth.
So, in other words, that's why in terms of, like, feta cheese, you're not, it's mostly coming from goat or sheep?
Say that again? Sorry, I didn't hear you.
Like feta cheese is coming mostly from goats and sheep?
It's mostly sheep, yeah.
Okay. All right. So now I understand why, as opposed to it's not easy to, you're not normally going to get mozzarella.
No, you're not. You're not.
Okay.
That's why a lot of the cheeses are different there, too. You know, I mean, it's because most of it was made from sheep, from goat. You know, so, you know, you get that tanginess, the yogurts, too. And that's why, you know, even the yogurt itself is a lot different because you have that a little bit of that sourness when you have a Greek yogurt and comes from, that's where it comes from.
Aha. Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to let you go because I know you have something to do today.
Thank you.
Is there anything, just quickly, is there anything
always.
Else you want to share before we close the show? Whatever it is that you just said, we didn't hear. No. Still not hearing
hello,
you.
Hello, hello. Hello.
Okay, now I hear you. Yeah.
The thing I would say is, you know, we're more than happy to have you at Alora. Come check us out. You know, I think you would be happy of you know, what we're doing. And Mel, it's always a pleasure talking to you. So.
Okay. I think the next time we do this, I'll tell people go on a landline.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. Okay. Well.
Thank you, Mel.
Have a fabulous day.
Thank you.
And I'll get back with you in regards to the, is it AP? AP Taverna?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
MP
All right,
Taverna,
I'll get back
yes.
with you on that. Great.
Thank you.
All right.
Have a great day. Bye-bye now.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Yes, so that's a Laura Italian kitchen and bar in Bayside. Well, and I am, well, I did eat breakfast, so I'm not going to eat right after this. Although I must say it's the osso buco I had there that I really certainly enjoyed. It's nothing like the marrow in the osso buco bone. So, all right, let me go find this. I saw, just I'm going to throw in before I go. I saw a beautiful, the Carole King musical that's on Broadway. And this one was actually it wasn't Jesse Mueller that was in it, but her sister. So they're both doing this show and touring. I think Jesse Mueller, who's the one who first starred in it, is now in another play. I think she's going to eventually leave that play and come back. But the show is like really, it's one of those shows you got to see kind of thing. That's worth seeing on Broadway. And especially if you know the songs, and it's not just Carole King songs, because this also has to do with another two writers, well, I'm not going to even tell you, but it's another couple that are writers, a lyricist, and composer. And the songs, those songs were all done for other people or other groups. And so you'll recognize them. And with Carole King originally did songs for other people to sing. So you get to hear stuff that she finally sang, you know, groups that sang, and I don't know if it'll all come back to you, because I'm in my 60s, so I happen to have remembered the words to every song that came on. But highly recommend it, and I have a feeling, regardless of whether you see Beautiful, because it's on tour, you're going to love it anyway. So, okay, everybody, I am going to go. And everybody, have a great day. Afternoon, the chickens, they're taking a nap. Have a great day, evening, morning, wherever it is that you're listening to this show. No. I want my milk.